found Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is hour number three of VSiN's Primetime Action, live from the South Point Hotel Casino here on the tip of the strip in Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, and Kelly Bidlin. Glad you can hang with us Friday night. I will say it again. These Friday night shows, if you are betting the National Football League, are essential to your betting sort of arc during the week. I don't think you can make a bet contest or actually legitimate in your account without hearing about final injury reports here on a Friday night. Obviously, contest deadlines tomorrow, games themselves on Sunday. We will get to the Monday night game here momentarily. Kelly, let's update college football and baseball, por favor, sir.
Yeah, big play by Louisville here to get into UCF territory. 26-yard line of UCF. We are 14-14 in that game, 1 minute before halftime. UCF still a 4.5-point live favorite. 65.5 is your live total in that game. Over in Major League Baseball, Nationals on top of the Rockies. That game is in the top of the sixth inning. Live Nationals minus 400 live, Rockies plus 300, 13.5 your live total. Yankees leading the Indians now 2-0 in the top of the seventh. Live numbers currently off the board. That game just popped up. Yankees minus 500. No, sorry. Yankees minus 1450 up two Ooh. Runs. Indians plus 750, but late in the game there. Twins up on the Blue Jays, 7-3, bottom of the sixth. The Twins minus 820, 725 live now. And plus 600 coming back on the Blue Jays. 13.5 is the live total. I'm just laughing. That live line changed about three times while I was looking. Pirates and Marlins, the big one tonight. Pirates up 2-1, 2-1 over the Marlins. That game at the bottom of the sixth. No live numbers currently up. Phillies on top of the Mets, 2-1. That game in the top of the sixth inning. Phillies minus 255 live. Mets plus 190, 6.5 your live total. The Tigers leading the Rays, 4-1. That game into the bottom of the sixth inning now. Tigers minus 675, Rays plus 425, 7.5. The live total. Red Sox lead the Orioles 3-1, bottom of the fifth. Live numbers on that game. Red Sox minus 1,300. Orioles plus 750, or you could catch 3.5 runs with the Orioles. 7.5 live total shaded to the over. Dodgers and Reds. Reds leading this game 3-0 in the bottom of the sixth. Reds minus 950 live. Dodgers plus 550, 5.5 live total. White Sox up on the Rangers 2-0. That game in the top of the third. White Sox minus 500. Rangers plus 375. 8.5 the live total. And Diamondbacks and Astros scoreless in the bottom of the third. Astros minus 260 live. Diamondbacks plus 210. And the Cubs and Brewers, that game scoreless top of the fourth. Brewers minus 200, though, live. Cubs plus 165. 5.5 live total. And last game going on right now, Mariners lead the Royals 2-0 in the bottom of the third inning. Mariners minus 240 live. Royals plus 195, 8.5, you're live.
Did you give a Cardinals score? Did I miss it? Cardinals up on the Padres 3-0. Big, big game there in St. Louis, bottom of the second. Cardinals half game lead over the Padres for the number two wild card position in the National League. Full game lead over the Reds. Reds really hitting Walker Buehler well in this game, and that is going to be a two-run shot for the Reds and the greater. No, it's not. They gave me that angle where it looked like it was going, and then all of a sudden Mookie Betts was on the warning track. 3-0 it remains in favor of the Reds, though, as we go to the seventh. So huge implications there for both the Reds and in the case of the Padres and the Cardinals when it comes to the number two wild card position. And in the case of the Dodgers, huge implications for the Giants, who play later on tonight as the Giants come into tonight with a one-game lead over the Dodgers in the NL West. Let us talk some college football. As promised, he is the Bear from ESPN's College Game Day. Simply the best thing that ESPN does, where he hangs out today in State College, Pennsylvania. Happy Valley, where he's going to take in the Penn State Auburn game. It's Chris Felica, everybody. How you doing, Chris?
I'm exhausted, Gil. I'm exhausted.
I wonder why. Multiple reasons. Your travel, and then there's other reasons we don't want to get into. How you doing, man? You good?
Yeah. No. We're good. Just good to be out here, and just it feels like a weird weekend. There really isn't a super duper marquee game that I think really is going to affect the title race, but Sometimes on weeks like this, we get pleasantly surprised with some either some big upsets or some good performances. So we'll see what tomorrow has to offer.
Yeah, there's a few. I mean, obviously Alabama, Florida is one of them. One could make the case that Cincinnati, Indiana is interesting. But Auburn, Penn State is about as good as it gets. With Penn State favored now by 5, how do you view this game tomorrow at State College?
I really don't know what to make of either team. It's hard to really figure out what Auburn is. I mean, they beat Akron and Alabama State. And Penn State, the one game we saw them against a real team, couldn't get a first down in the first half against Wisconsin. Got some fortunate red zone luck with Wisconsin turning the ball over, and they predictably beat Ball State handily last week. But I get a sense that this is probably, if I had to play this game, I would probably look away from like the actual side in total, and I might just look towards a first quarter or a first half under. I think that will be pretty loud and raucous in there tomorrow night. I think you'll probably see an Auburn team be conservative early, run the ball with Bigsby, kind of work themselves into the game. And I think they're, the Auburn defense with those linebackers can probably hold their own against the Penn State offense that couldn't get a first down in the first half against Wisconsin. So I would expect a lower scoring first quarter, first half, and then depending on the way the game goes, things can get out of hand. But I try and focus on the first half.
Chris, this Alabama and Florida game, for the beginning of the week, it was kind of toggling back and forth between 14 and 14 and a half. It seems like when they get down to 14, people would take Alabama. It would get up to 14 and a half, people would take Florida. It's settled in at 14 and a half now. It hasn't moved in a couple of days now. It's pretty much across the board at 14 and a half. So a little bit more than two touchdowns here. We all think that Alabama's the best team in the country. That said, are they more than two touchdowns better on the road than Florida?
They probably are, but I'm glad I didn't get involved in this game this week, because hearing reports of weather tomorrow down there in Gainesville, and I think in a game like that, I would really have to lean towards the best units on the field. And that's the Alabama offensive line and the Alabama defensive line. Is Richardson healthy? How's his hamstring? If the field is slick and wet, it wouldn't take very much for him to retweak that thing. And we've seen what Nick Saban can do to young, inexperienced quarterbacks. And Emory Jones has been a turnover machine. I don't think Florida scores very many points tomorrow. I'd be potentially looking at a Florida team total under because I think Alabama could really just – this could be like one of those, like, Alabama just kind of like 12 play, just run the ball and just kind of like I just like a sleeper hold James to submission and maintain possession here. So I would I'd look at a Florida team total under.
Chris, I have some sense of this because you were kind enough to be on a numbers game this morning, as you are each and every Friday morning here on VSiN. But give us your first or your top two or three picks against the number tomorrow.
I really like Wake Forest against Florida State. I think there were some 4.5s out there. Look, I think we all got excited and happy and thrilled to see Mackenzie Milton out on the field a couple of weeks ago in that comeback against Notre Dame. But the numbers are what the numbers are. Blowing a double-digit lead to an FCS team. Milton's only averaging like 5 yards an attempt this year. Jordan Travis, the other quarterback, is throwing 3 picks in 22 attempts. I think the talent level at Wake Forest is a little bit underrated. Sam Hartman is going to be the best quarterback on the field tomorrow. And I think if you look at what Florida State has done on the road the last few years, the 14 road games that they played, they're 2-12. And the two wins came against a Bobby Petrino coach Louisville team and a Steve Adazio coach Boston College team. So we're not exactly talking about world beaters here. And the 12 games that lost came by over 3 touchdowns on average. So I think Wake Forest really extends that the Florida State struggles and send the Noles to 0-3.
And then one more here before we go. Have we lost Chris? I think we lost Chris. Oh, there we go. You got one more you like?
Yeah, we got it. Yeah, I like West Virginia laying the 2.5 against Virginia Tech. I don't want to call it a system play because that infers that I'm only playing it because of a historical like trend where you've got the ranked team on the road who's an underdog to an unranked team. But I think, I mean, those numbers bear out. By the way, the unranked favorites are like 16-7. on the field over like the last 5 years in this situation. But I think that Virginia Tech win against North Carolina to start the year was a lot more about North Carolina kind of imploding in the national spotlight in a raucous Lane Stadium. Howell was terrible, a bunch of new players on offense. Hokies didn't have 300 yards in the game. I mean, Burmeister made some plays, and I was surprised at West Virginia how scrappy their defense was in that opening game against Maryland. They lost a key guy at every single level of that defense, but they played well enough to win that game. Dagey has improved from where he was last year, and I just have to go with West Virginia here. I think at home, laying a short number, I'm going to put my trust in Neil Bradstein.
All right. Have fun tomorrow. I love State College, man. I know you're going to have a good time. And enjoy going around the country all season long, Chris, and going to
we will.
Legalized jurisdiction to legalized jurisdiction. That must be an added bonus these days.
It's been a fun 2 weeks.
I can imagine. Chris Velika, everybody, the Bear. Thank you, Chris, as always.
Take care, guys.
You can follow him, of course, on Twitter at Chris Velika, F-A-L-L-I-C-A. Would be nice to have your name as your Twitter handle, wouldn't it, Matt Brown?
You Matt Brown out there that just is sitting on that Twitter handle and doesn't even use it. Doesn't ever use it.
Stop mocking you, the Matt Brown Twitter handle. We'll come back. We'll do the Monday night game between the Lions and the Packers. We will preview late baseball, and then our primetime action, Circa contest entry. We will barter, and we will come to a conclusion right here on VSiN's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Just like the man said, Brett Musburger, it is Primetime Action. Glad you could stick around with us tonight. One more football game to get to, and we will preview baseball. Matter of fact, let's preview the baseball right now, if you would, Matt. Unless you're making a wager, in which case
I was looking at wagers. Okay, I was just, we got to peruse.
It's the only thing we're allowed to do.
We got
to
check his dinner res. We got to
peruse. No resies tonight. We have two first pitches still to come. A's and the Angels. Irvin versus Diaz. Irvin and the A's -125 favorites, +105 on the Angels as underdogs. And then we have a 9:45 Eastern, 6:45 Pacific. That is the Braves and the Giants. Ian Anderson, Logan Webb. Logan Webb and the Giants, -170 favorites, +150 on Anderson and the Braves as underdogs.
And Giants scoreboard watching here, liking what they're seeing in Cincinnati with the Reds up 3-0 over the Dodgers, headed to the bottom of the seventh there at the Great American Ballpark. All right, final football game to get into is the Monday Nighter. It is the Lions and the Packers, two teams that lost in week one. The Packers in a sort of brutal fashion in their game against the New Orleans Saints, 38-3, I believe was the final score. And then there's the Lions, who again were down 24 with 2 minutes left and somehow made it a cosmetic loss of 8 points and even had the ball at the Niners 24-yard line late with a chance to perhaps tie it and send it to overtime. Not to be, though. Packers, 11.5-point favorites on Monday night with the total at 48.
Yeah, it is 12 at DraftKings, 12.5 at FanDuel, 11 at Rivers. So there are varying numbers out there if you guys want to get in on this thing. So depending on which side you want to be on, be sure and shop around. Gil, you ask everybody on your podcast every single week which game of the week if you want absolutely nothing to do with, and this would be the game.
Yeah,
for me, for a couple different reasons. For one, There's a lot of reason to believe that the Packers bounce back here and control this game. I mean, listen, look, the Lions were getting absolutely destroyed in that game against the 49ers, and then the scoreboard is not indicative of really how that game went because a couple of freak plays, a weird fumble, an onside kick, all this stuff, and the next thing you know, the Lions are back in the game. But they were just getting absolutely pummeled by the 49ers. So the Packers should be able to handle this game fairly cleanly. That said, you do look at this Lions team and you look at this spread and you go, okay, 12 points, 11.5 points. The Packers defense did get shredded last week. Can this Lions team do this whole backdoor cover thing yet again? And even though they didn't quite get there, I guess it depends on what number you got. But so for me, I look at this and I say, like, yes, the Packers win. Do they win by this spread right here? And now just I should point out, they put one of their very best defensive players, Za'Darius Smith, on IR today. Hmm. You know, would they need him against the Lions? Not necessarily, but still not a good thing for the Packers moving forward. The Packers were under, Aaron Rodgers was under duress so many times last week against the Saints, but that is just a pretty good Saints defense, man, a pretty good Saints front four as well. Lions aren't going to produce any sort of pressure like that he saw last week. He should have all the time in the world to throw. He had one of the lowest on-target throw percentages of his career last week against the Saints. And again, that should all come back around against this Lions team. I like the Packers. I even like the Packers big. But Gil, winning by 10 points is big. Yes. You know, I mean, like a 10-point win is big. And so now this thing's at 11.5, 12.5 again. Like I mentioned, at one book out there, just don't have any confidence in saying, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to, that's the direction I'm going to go.
I hear you. And I don't mean to offend, because I know you went all in on Minnesota and Survivor, so you're not in Survivor. But this will be a very popular Survivor pick.
Yes.
The Packers.
And like I said, that had I...
Yes.
This was the direction I was going.
Yeah, because you don't necessarily want to lose the Browns this early.
Mm-hmm.
And if you hadn't taken Tampa Bay in week one against the Cowboys, you probably don't want to burn them either.
And we have questions about the Packers, right?
And so, we do. We don't know how good they are.
You're like, oh, well, what about saving the Packers? Well, think about it this way. What if the Packers aren't any good? You know, right. what if they're not good? At least you get them against a very weak team at the beginning of the year where this team doesn't have a chance to maybe get better over the course of the season, have Jared Goff, like, get some chemistry or whatever it might be with these receivers. So, like, you're at least catching a bad team early in the season.
Yeah, and even in the one that we're in here, Circa Survivor, which has over 4,000 entries, 4,080 entries to be precise to start the season. Now a bunch, 15% roughly, got knocked out last week in week one. There's a Thanksgiving Day and a Christmas Day quirk where it's not just 18 weeks you have to get through, but Thanksgiving Day is its own week, and Christmas, the sort of three games that lead up to Christmas, are its own week too. So there, you have a choice of six teams in both of those cases. The Packers happen to play on Christmas Day, or Christmas week. I'm not sure if it's Christmas Day itself, but those three games of that qualifies the Christmas part of it. But they host the Browns, and so there's a lot of people who are like, "Oh, I don't want to waste the Christmas, you know, because I want to have all six options." And my thing,
it's like you're gonna play one of them, though. Yeah.
My counter to that is just what you just said, Matt, which is, are we even sure they're good, the Packers? And even if they are you taking them against the Browns?
Right.
I'm not.
Right.
So I don't really have any problem taking the Packers here. Now, again, Survivor is probably misnamed, so optimally you wouldn't take the Packers, Browns, or the Bucks. But in this particular case, I'm happy to take them and just move on to week number three. And Kelly, you did not play Survivor, just to clarify once again.
Correct.
And why did you not play Survivor again?
I probably would have done the exact same thing Matt Brown did, so I'm...
it's
funny, they
Minnesota?
Broke it down, and they were like, 75 entries pick the Vikings or whatever. I'm like, no. There were like 72 people. They said they're like 72 people pick the Vikings. I'm like, no, because I thought I had three, and all three with me. So not 72 people. That's not true.
I had the Vikings on some of my entries too.
The night is done for both starters in this Dodgers-Reds game. Walker Buehler goes six innings, gives up six hits, three earned, two walk, 5K. He goes 95 pitches. Luis Castillo, 6 1/3, five hits, no runs, two walks, and 10 Ks for him. He throws 111 pitches. The Reds know how important this game is, and so they left Castillo in as long as they possibly could. 111 pitches for him.
And although that comes out as a quality start for Walker Buehler, by the way, do we still talk about quality starts? Is that still a thing? I don't hear it as
much
anymore.
In fantasy baseball. That's in fantasy baseball, because wins have gone by the wayside in fantasy baseball, so it's quality start.
Well, quality start for Walker Buehler, but he was really getting tagged all night. Like, this is, besides that one game against the Giants where he got absolutely shelled on a Sunday night, this is probably one of his worst looking outings of the year, which is saying something, because he's obviously a Cy Young candidate along with his teammates Max Scherzer and, I'll say it, Julio Urias. But again, Reds up 3-0. Reds a game behind the Cardinals to start the night for that number two wildcard position with the Padres wedged in between them. Cardinals up on the Padres 3-0. Is that still the score? Checking right now. Yes, that is still the score. Cardinals up 3-0, top of the fourth on the Padres. So huge implications for all these games in baseball. Yankees get a home run just now. Brett Gardner with a three-run Jimmy Jam. And that that takes a 2-0 lead and makes it 5-0. So the Yankees in business. Well, make it 6-0. Pardon me, I missed the third run. So it's 6-0. They just doubled up the score on the Tribe. 6-0 in the bottom of the seven. Still nobody out. So the Yankees well on their way there, which is significant because the Twins hit another home run in their game against the Blue Jays. Twins are up on the Blue Jays 7-3. Now, Kelly, you just put a interesting. I was just going to talk about this. You just put up the Boston-Baltimore game.
Yeah. What am I looking at?
Boston is wearing their traditional yellow.
What am I looking at?
Their traditional yellow and blue.
Yellow and blue. Sorry, I mean, this is one TV. I did not have this game on. I was just
Sweden is playing the Orioles. So I wanted to point this out because we talked about, yeah, there must be a reason, right? We talked about.
It says they're the City Connect jerseys, whatever that means.
Oh, yes. Okay, the City Connect jerseys. Sure. It does occur to me.
Honors the Boston Marathon, apparently.
I'm sorry?
Honors the Boston Marathon.
It honors the Boston Marathon? Does it honor the marathon itself or the bombing of the marathon?
Not sure. I'm going to guess the second one, but okay. I'm not sure I'll look it up.
Now I feel bad that we're making fun of the uniforms if that's the case. Anyway, it's not a recognizable Boston Red Sox uniform. But I wanted to ask you this about, you know, because we talk about baseball every night. We talk about the Giants and the Dodgers. We talk about the Yankees. We talk about the race for the NL wild card. You know who we never talk about? The Red Sox and the Braves. Ever. And the Red Sox have overperformed all year, right? They're beating their season. They're going to beat their season win total. They're right now coming into tonight. They're in the number two wild card, really a dead heat, really, with the Blue Jays. And it looks like the Blue Jays are going to lose, maybe. And even if the Yankees win, Boston would end up being in the number one wild card position after tonight. And then the Braves are coasting in the NL East. Like, the Phillies and the Mets can't catch them, seemingly. Why is it that we never talk about these two teams?
Sox wore these on Patriots Day. The players asked to wear them again, apparently.
Gotcha. Patriots Day being the early morning, 11 a.m. Eastern game in April.
We talked about the Red Sox in the first half, and then we never talked about them anymore. And we never have talked about the Braves. Braves might not even be a team for on this show.
What was the Red Sox Braves World Series matchup odds? We got to check those from yesterday.
Yeah, I'll check in the break.
Literally something we would never even think about. We'll come back. Our Circa Millions primetime action entry. We debate it next and come up with our five picks right here on Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Make this football season your best sports betting season ever. Start your VSiN free trial today to get full access to our sports betting experts, including 24/7 video streaming, daily best bet emails, betting splits with the money and ticket percentages on every game, plus full access, and I mean full, to VSiN.com data and analysis. Everything VSiN has to offer for only $22 per month. That's a 20 and then $2 bills. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander, Matt Brown, and Kelly Bidlin. It is time for our Circa contest selections here on Primetime Action. Matt, Kelly, and I.
The moment they've all been waiting for.
All right, Kelly, you are the one who has culled this all together, so I'll let you do the honors, Your Honor.
Yeah, this is all right. So we all sent in five picks separately.
Look at that. I would not have thought that the Patriots would
have
been
unanimous. Oh, wow. I wouldn't either.
Look at us.
What we all match on. So the two we match on were Chiefs and Patriots. Mm-hmm. And then we got two with two votes, Rams and Cardinals.
I'm part of both of those.
That's both of you.
Yes.
That's both of you.
Oh.
One vote. Titans for me.
One vote.
Falcons for me. Eagles for Matt, I believe, right? And then Gil and I bump heads on Bills versus Dolphins.
Okay, so we're out on that, right?
Yeah, it's off the board. No. I am completely fine with Rams going through because they were like sixth on my list. So we can write that one down now. That one's fine. And honestly, Cardinals, I'm okay with too. I'm not going to fight that.
All right, so Chiefs, that was easy.
Chiefs,
Pats, Rams, Cardinals. And now to barter for the fifth pick between the Titans, Falcons, and Eagles.
Well, and I mean, don't get me wrong. I like two of the three on there. But I do think, like, you know, the other one I think we should consider here is one you brought up that I didn't really think about as much.
Pittsburgh.
The Steelers.
Yeah. I feel
we're getting a better number, right, from the contest to this. Like, I can look up, but I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, what are the Steelers? Are they six in the contest? Six plus minus six, Kelly? We should probably throw checking up the circuit. There we go. Okay, so Pittsburgh, not listed.
Yeah, they're six.
They're six, okay. So there they are, top right. So let's go back to our picks, and let's just talk these through real quick. Here is the...
So the one votes are Titans, Falcons, Eagles.
Okay, so Titans, six-point dogs against the Seahawks. We all sort of agree that number really shouldn't be that, but none of us really love the Titans. So I'm thinking that's the weakest of the bunch because there's no injury angle among that, and there's no outlandish number angle. Because the Falcons, again.
Well, I think the outlandish number angle is that this was 3.5 before week one, right? This is just an overreaction number.
Right. But I guess what I'm saying is, at least in the Falcons' case, the Bucs have those injuries in the secondary.
Yeah.
In the Eagles' case, the Niners' defense is decimated. And in the Steelers' case, unit versus unit, defensive line versus offensive line. So I just feel like the Titans is the least.
Okay.
I don't know if you
agree.
It's
certainly
with
the one that I would be least.
Yeah.
Okay, then we'll cross it off.
Least confident in.
Because yeah. I know me. I feel like me and you are both cool with Falcons. So what would Matt prefer between Falcons Steelers, I guess?
Falcons, Eagles, Steelers. What do you prefer? You don't like Eagles?
He prefers the Eagles.
You don't like Eagles?
I don't like the Eagles.
Kelly doesn't like the Eagles.
Kelly doesn't like the Eagles.
All right.
It's fine. I only went 4-1 in last week, so it's fine.
I knew this was going to happen.
I know, right?
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. It's, look, that wasn't going to make, honestly, that wasn't going to make my card until this afternoon.
Right.
And then that came through, and then that's like, honest to God, that wasn't going to make my card until this afternoon.
What was Matt's line last week? He was, I don't want to influence you guys when I said it, right?
Didn't influence me too much, obviously.
Obviously.
That was y'all keep butchering the line.
Y'all
keep butchering the line. I said Kelly. I didn't want both of us sending ours to Kelly, and then Kelly not having done his yet, to where then he looks at both of ours, and influenced by both of ours.
We know what you meant. It was just funny the way you wrote.
Because that's a tiebreaker, right? Like, you could be sitting going, like, I'm on the fence, but they both like this one, so I'll get one. At least this keeps it where we have, like, a good debate. And
to be perfectly honest, Rams were, when I wrote down when I really went through the contest and what I liked this week, I came up with seven. Rams were number six on the cutoff. So that's where I'm like, Rams, I'm perfectly fine with sending through. Cardinals, I'm not as big of a fan of, but I'm okay with it since you both really like it.
So, and again, like I said, I was going to have the squarest. So I can tell you my two cards this week, because I have two entries. So my two will be, so I have all those, Chiefs, Patriots, Rams, Cardinals. One will have Eagles and one will have Steelers.
If I don't know if this makes us want to do this more or want to do this less, but if we go do Steelers, we will have played 10 favorites so far in the contest.
Ooh.
That almost makes it cooler. I don't know.
Interesting. Like,
otherwise, you're nine favorites and one dog.
Yeah, interesting. I don't have a problem with the Falcons for the reasons that we kind of laid out, right? That I think the back door's open fairly big. I really wish it was 13 instead of 12.5, which is why they did. I know why they did it.
Yeah. I really wish the Eagles was 3.5 and not three.
Yeah, I know why they did it. I get it, you know. But, yeah, I mean, so complete transparency. Those are my two entries for the week. So the four that you see in the unanimous and two votes, and then I'm going to have one with Eagles, and I'll have one with Steelers.
And I have the four with the Dolphins.
Yeah, Gil, same thing. Gil, same thing.
That Steelers one feels like we're making a mistake leaving that off.
It really does.
I mean, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. I'm not gonna fight that one.
Maybe that's how we play this.
Is that bad? Like, we had this whole process marked out, and none of us put the Steelers.
Right. Well, because I wasn't quite aware of just how many injuries. Like, on the way in, you find out about the Raiders' injuries.
That's a good point. And a lot of that happened today, right? Jacobs was official today.
Yeah.
Incognito was official today.
Yeah.
Look, everybody's going to be on the Steelers. I don't know if we care about that. That's probably. I would think that's.
Are they though? Because Raiders are still home team. Around here.
Yeah.
Oh, regional contest bias?
I guess I don't
bias?
Know how that's worked in the contest. I don't know if there's been a ton of regional bias like in the contest.
Weren't they really popular in week one, the Raiders?
Raiders were, yeah.
In week one. Yeah, I'm just saying from like years past, though. I don't really remember.
I feel like just anecdotally hearing the same people that were high on the Raiders in week one are pretty realistic about the Raiders in week two. Like, they're not very
bullish. No, that's true. Yeah. That's true. People I heard that were even, I mean, I bet the Raiders in week one, people are higher on them in week one than me, seem to be very down on them this week.
So let's look at it this way then. I understand we don't necessarily, I mean, it's early in the deal and we don't have to game theory this all that much, but if we are, I mean, obviously there's a huge payouts for these quarterly prizes, so I mean, like, if we do want to take a shot at those, the Falcons at 12.5 is going to be by far the least played of any of the things that we've mentioned.
I would think so.
All right, well,
people are not going to feel comfortable playing the Falcons as after watching them just get completely demoralized last week.
Yeah, I would think from least to most played, I would think is Falcons, Eagles, Titans, Steelers of those four.
So you think there will be a lot of Steelers plays?
I don't know. I feel like maybe it's right around where the Titans are. I think there's going to be a lot of people that aren't going to be able to pass up 6 points with the Titans.
I think you lean, Gil?
I think they might be
close. Where do you lean?
The Steelers keeps popping up in my head.
Yeah.
It really does. Like, I can't shake it. I'm just sort of like,
I'm fine playing five. I don't care.
Them.
Like, I mean, if we're confident in the picks, then it doesn't matter. I mean, like, we don't have to be these people that think is, you know, that it's cool because you have to play underdogs.
Cut to whatever. A shot of me watching Ben throw the ball in the dirt the first time they had the ball. And I'm just like, this was a terrible pick.
But it could be the same thing with Bucks Falcons, right? When it's 40-7, you're like, whoa, cool.
That's how we should determine this. What is going to induce the least self-loathing, right? The Steelers, the Falcons.
You know what? That's a good question, Gil. Yeah. And I think I just solved it because I will jump the fence of the Steelers on that one. I think there's less self-loathing if they don't cover that number, then if I'm sitting there on Sunday watching the Falcons get blown out and look horrible for 2 weeks.
And going, what were we doing? What were we doing?
We saw it in week one. What are we thinking?
Okay, we're going off script then. We're gonna go with a game that none of the three of us submitted.
But this is why we do this
Friday night.
We talk
but
things that, through.
And we do the injury report. Mm-hmm. That's why we do this whole exercise. You're okay with it over the Eagles?
I mean, it's my other play. So, okay. I mean, like, I'm definitely okay with it. It's going to be my entry. I mean, it's going to be one of my entries. You know?
Oh, the Eagles on one and Steelers on another? Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I think it's the Steelers. Because as much as I think about this, that's the one where I'm like, we cannot pass that one up. And if they cover, you know, if they don't cover. But that's one that I feel good about.
Hey, you know what I'm going to do this week, guys, is write it on my laptop and not on the computer here.
Oh, good idea.
So tomorrow I'm not like, what did we play again?
Yes.
As he submits it at Circa.
That was probably know our week picks. One text. I'm like, hey, guys, these were our plays, right?
Yeah. Never mind. We're recapping next segment anyway. But yeah, this is very similar to real life for me as well.
Oh, yeah. My bets reflect these completely this week, which isn't always the case, as you say.
No, for sure. Yeah.
So there you go. We've made our decision.
How to get gavels.
That was a good, nice week. We were able to discuss things. Yeah. We were able to like it. It was very civil. It was very good. I liked it.
The fights are coming at some point.
Oh, yeah. The fights are coming for sure. I mean, like, you guys didn't get to fight over the Bills Dolphins. So we were just. Too many similarities.
Yeah. All right. We'll come back. We'll give you our actual bets in the NFL, which, as we said, might be very similar in some of these circumstances. Coming back on VSiN's Primetime Action.
You are looking live at Primetime Action with Gil Alexander and Matt Brown on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. This new feature gives you insights on where the money and bets are moving for every game. You'll be able to see where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. Data is available for moneyline, over, under, and against the spread bets. Betting splits, yet another way that VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. You say data or data? You a data?
I think I'm a data guy.
Really?
I mix them in.
How's that for data? Yeah, data. Yeah.
Who's that? What, Fizdale? Yeah.
I think I mix them in. It's one of those I say both ways.
Data. I don't say data anymore. I used to. Now I just go data. Albert Pujols at the plate for the Dodgers. Two down in the top of the ninth. Man on, and the Dodgers down two. So Pujols represents the tying run, and he has had himself a really good pinch-hitting season. And there's the first pitch, and Pujols sends it right to center field, and that's the ballgame. Cincinnati beats the Dodgers 3-1, and so the Dodgers fall a game and a half back behind the Giants with the Giants game pending tonight. That is big news in the Bay.
That was quality play-by-play, though, because you got me excited right when it came off the bat.
Mm.
It's like, to center!
That was just me getting
whiplash, turned my head around to look, then and it's out.
That was just me getting fooled.
It was a big game for ball teams, for so many different teams.
The Reds now stay within reach of the Cardinals. They come into the night a game behind the Cardinals. Cardinals beating the Padres. Padres are wedged in between the Cardinals and the Reds. So again, 3-0 there. We'll see if that holds up. But that game is quite young. Just updating the score there. 4-0 Cardinals now, top of the fifth. So Reds keeping pace with the Cardinals, as it turns out. 21-21 between UCF and Louisville. Good game in college football. Midway, just past the midway mark of the third quarter. Illinois and Maryland, not so much. Was that field goal blocked, the little chip shot field goal?
Field goal was blocked, yes.
Big Ten action, 0-0 late first quarter.
Come and get it.
All right, bets. Actual bets. Matt, start with you.
All right, so you've been watching all week. You know, probably my favorite bet that I've put in my account in a hot minute is this Chiefs point and a half.
And you said you think it might be your favorite bet all year.
Yes,
when you look
and it
back.
Could end up being my favorite bet all year. There is so many things working against this Ravens team in this game. I mean, really, the only thing you could point at here that would lead that you could like make a case really for the Ravens would be that the fact that the Chiefs are on the road. I mean, like, so yes, it is a road game for the Chiefs. Outside of that, you are getting so many different ways with corners being out, defensive ends being out, tackled, you know, going to be without your starting left tackle. And the way that you play defense plays into the strength of, oh, by the way, maybe the greatest quarterback we've ever seen play the position in the history of the game when it's all said and done. And so many different ways that I really like the Chiefs to win this game and win this game handily. Cardinals and Rams both, we've been talking about this all week long. And, you know, again, I am on a bunch of favorites this week, and it is a prove-it week for me. Prove it to me that you are not a terrible team. Prove it to me that what I saw last week from both sides of this thing is me just being overreacting here. And so with the Cardinals, I saw a very, very efficient offense, and I saw a defense for the first time in a while. And that's the thing here. That was the difference for me. It's not just that I was enamored by this Cardinals offense, which, by the way, I was.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, I was.
Just to be noted.
Yes.
Well done.
Yes.
Well done.
Which, by the way, I was.
Mm-hmm.
But also, they actually have a defense. And then you also look on, and then you look at the Viking side of things. And what they did was just kind of sputter up and down the field. And they want to be a run first team. And if that's the case, then good luck keeping up with this Cardinals team. So I like the Cardinals a lot. And of course, you know how much I like the Rams preseason, and you know how much I hate the Colts preseason as well. And so give me the Rams as just a field goal favorite here against this Colts team that, again, is also dealing with a bunch of injuries on their end as well. And it could be real bad if all those questionables break against them as well. Love the Patriots this week. There's just, listen, if it's rookie versus rookie here, one guy has a talented team around him and the other team doesn't, and the other team has Bill Belichick on the sideline, give me the talented team with Bill Belichick on the sideline. And then again, this Eagles bet just got in there today, and that was because of this 49ers injury report. I'm not in love with it, to be perfectly honest, but it's one of those things where sometimes opportunities I feel like just present themselves and you kind of have to jump on them. And so Eagles is 3-point dogs here against this really, really beat up 49ers team. And I needed a teaser leg in order to pair up with the Bengals. So I also put that in with the Eagles. I think that Bengals game is going to be a low-scoring game. So if it's a low-scoring game, then you get the Bengals. If I get them getting 8.5 points with them in a low-scoring game, I'll take that all day.
Very nice. I like all of them. Mm-hmm. After listening to this show for 3 hours, how could you not be solidified in your picks at this point? I, too, have the Chiefs, bought them down to -3, -134. I also have the Rams, -4 at the Colts. Prove me wrong, Indianapolis Colts. The Dolphins, we mentioned this earlier. I really like the Dolphins plus 3.5. That line just does not make sense to me in the Dolphins-Bills game. I don't think the Bills should be 3 and the hook on the road. Again, the implication is that the Bills would be 9.5-point home favorites against the Dolphins. What are we talking about here? And I think the Dolphins are still stealth in the market. Again, what shows in the box score does not typically reflect what the result ends up being in Dolphins games. And there's a bit of a that after a while, you can't just be smoking mirrors all the time. There's got to be something that we're not accounting for. And I think the Dolphins are turning into, you know, Patriots light, Patriots from the Belichick heyday. Cardinals, I actually bought this down to Kelly. I don't know why I sent you the -3.5. I'll tell you what I have. I have -3, -134 as well on the Cardinals in that one. I bought it down to the 3. So I like the, you know, and I think I asked you this earlier, Matt, this week. Like, is there a team that after just 1 week, again, we're all trying to prevent overreaction after 1 week of football, but is there a team that definitely changed that you think might have jogged something in your head that changes what your pre-flop conviction was on them before the season started? And for me, it's the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. I just think that they're going to be outstanding. I'm going to make a futures bet, I think, on them before the weekend as well, or before Sunday. So that's the other one. And my teaser was the Bengals and the Patriots. The Bengals were the natural Stanford Wong teaser leg, and then the Patriots just tease them down basically to have to win this game. So that's, it was sort of the same thing, Matt. Yeah. Though I had the Bengals and I was looking for something else, and the Patriots is what I landed on. Kelly?
All right, yeah, we'll start with the Falcons here. That was the latest one I added today. Falcons catching 13 on the road at the Buccaneers. And really, this is just injury situation that we Matt went through big time earlier on the Buccaneers side. Carlton Davis, questionable today. If he doesn't end up playing, they're going to be down both of their starting cornerbacks that were heading into the season. I just think that's going to be, could be a big advantage for what the Falcons have on the outside. So 13 points, this could be backdoor territory. That 13, I liked that number enough to play it. 49ers is one I played as an opener. Got to be honest, after the injuries have started to pile up for the 49ers this week, and I rewatched some of that Eagles-Falcons game from last week, I don't know that I would necessarily recommend a play on this, but I wanted to be transparent. This is what I have going into the week. So not necessarily sure I would recommend that. I know Matt's on the opposite side of it. So moving on from that, Bills heads up with Gil here, completely respect everything that he's saying. I do think if you reverse this and this game was in Buffalo, 9.5 points would be an absurd amount. I do think, though, that these, when you kind of see point spreads like this, they don't translate directly like that when they're around three. So I'm okay. It is going to be a tough game for the Bills going into Miami, laying 3, but this is, I'll use that phrase, prove it to me, and spin it another way, where this is Bills. You've been a quality AFC team the past 2 years. You have Super Bowl aspirations. These are the games you have to be able to win. If you're going to lay an egg in week one, you have to be able to go down to Miami in week two and win a big divisional game against the Dolphins. So I'm laying 3 there at -120. And then I end up playing the same teaser. I'll jump to that real quick. The teaser, Bengals up to 8.5, and then Patriots is a pick 'em. This was really, I was really looking all week kind of to what to pair the Bengals with. Sounds like we kind of all were at different points. We all knew we wanted to play that leg. What were we going to add with it? And Patriots was a team I had the back of my mind. I was going to tie into a money line parlay. Got to be honest, Gil, you sent me over your picks, and I'm like, listen, I think I'm struggling too much to figure out two other teams to pair with the Bengals and Patriots. Just put them together. I think it's a smarter way to play it. So that teaser, and that's the only teaser for me this week. And then, gentlemen, this is Chiefs this week. I can comfortably say this is the game I have the second most amount of money on in an NFL side going back the past 12 months at least.
Wow. What was number one?
Last time that I bet on the Chiefs in the freaking Super Bowl, Gil. So
how did I know that was the answer?
Let's really hope the same thing doesn't happen this week around. So, yeah, this Chiefs would be the number one and number two liability for me over the past season in a week of the NFL. So, that's my card for the weekend. See how we do, boys.
I feel like I'm ready to put in my picks.
Yeah.
But I'm going to wait because you never know. You never know. Deadline tomorrow afternoon. No reason to put them in tonight.
No reason, but yeah. It would take a lot to move me off of where I'm going.
It would take something breaking, if you would. The Boom Sticky Booms are here. That means it's time for us to go. Great week here on the show. Really appreciate you watching. We'll be back a Monday night on Primetime Action for Monday Night Football and the Packers and the Lions. Till then, good luck with all your bets this weekend. For Matt, for Kelly, Gil Alexander. The Nightcap with Tim Murray and Sean King next from Circa. Enjoy.